Good morning. You can turn in your Bible to Proverbs 31. That'll be the first passage that we really look at this morning. I'm so thankful to God that I can be here and bring this lesson to you. It has been a while as we've been going through this series, and we've fed richly on God's Word this past week with the extra lessons from Nathan as he was here with us. And so, hope you enjoyed that. It'll be a little while before Nathan's back with us again. So, in the meantime, we will do what we can to dig into God's Word. And this morning, we're going to wrap up this series of Living Like Jesus, Prophets, Priests, and Kings, especially focused on the role of wives. But before we get to that, I'll make a couple of more general announcements. Men's Book Club met yesterday. It was great. As I announced before, we're starting a new focus. The kind of title of our book club group is Being Good at Being Men. And this book, Stepping Up, came highly recommended. And so Tim Crawford led the discussion yesterday. And we have extra copies of that book. Is this mic working? Is it doing? Okay. We have extra copies of the book if you need that. And the next time we meet is going to be Saturday, June 7th. The idea is to meet every 3 weeks. And so 3 weeks from yesterday is June 7th. Hope you can join us there, men of our congregation. And then let me make a statement about VBS. As you may remember, that's going to be in the end of June, June 24th through 27th. That's a Tuesday through Friday. The big announcement that needs to be made with that is, even though we don't have a class for 7th through 12th grade, middle school and high school, we still need you. We need you to come. We need your help. For example, we're going to be acting out some of the Bible stories. We need your help with group projects. And so don't think that you don't have a role. We really would like for you to be able to be there that week and help us out in some different ways. So I wanted to make that announcement for you, that to be on your radar if you're in the middle school and high school age. Okay, we've been talking about prophet and priest and king, that Jesus was the great prophet and our complete priest and our great king. We talked about that as a model for godly leaders and leadership in the home. The focus of this series has been for fathers and for husbands, men leading in the home. But then the last lesson, that's been a few weeks, the last lesson we saw that all Christians live out these roles, that we all have this need to speak God's word like prophets and to intercede like priests and to enact, bring about God's will as kings, that we're all royalty because we're all sons of the king. And that language is just through the Bible. And so we talked about how everyone fits these roles. And so today we're going to wrap up everything by then focusing on wives. And you're like, well, that kind of seems like the wrong direction. Like, shouldn't those lessons have been in a different order? So I want you to know, I'm well aware of the idea of anticlimactic. It's an adjective, and it means causing disappointment and dissatisfaction at the end of an otherwise exciting series of events. Use this sentence: J.D. sure knows how to beat a dead horse with a never-ending sermon series and an anticlimactic final lesson. So I'm well aware that that is the impression that might be given by saying, okay, we're all prophets, priests, and kings, and then to say, okay, so let's talk about wives. Like, well, wives would be included in that, J.D. We get that. But I think that you'll see by the end of this that there's some real value and some things we want to say that I hope will be very helpful for us as we focus on this. So what's the value of going back and talking about how wives and mothers live these things out when the last lesson would have included that, because that's part of our roles? The basic answer is we men really need help. So the more that you wives and mothers can help us, the better off we are going to be. We need that help, and most of us are just a bunch of knuckleheads that need encouragement. So, we need help. And so let's talk about some of those things this morning. Wives are to be that complementary, supplementary help to their husbands. And by complimentary, I don't mean giving compliments, although you're always welcome to do that. Complimentary means that you are there to fill in and help us. There's going to be gaps. There's going to be things we need. There's going to be ways we need help. And so that language from Genesis 12:18, for whatever reason, it's been ingrained in our heads, the older English phrase, a help meet. But the idea is a helper suitable, that a good wife is able to meet the needs of her husband and help in all the ways that he's insufficient. And so to be complementary, to be supplementary in that relationship, that's the goal of then the two of them becoming one and better off than they would be alone by themselves. And so point number one we're going to make today is wives do need to be actively living out these anointed roles, to do their own work in the prophet, priest, and king role. And I understand you could say queen with that. It's the same idea, is that we are kings, is that we are royalty, that God made us to be kings over creation, and that we rule, and that God has given us authority and power and royal dignity as sons of God. So Christ wants us to be busy waging war like kings, praying like priests, speaking like prophets. That's a line from the last lesson. And one of you came to me and said, that was a great line, and you went over it too fast. So here it is again. God wants us to be waging war, fighting strong this battle that lies before us, to take up the armor of God, to pray like priests, to intercede, to be that go-between, to speak like prophets, to speak the oracles of God to each other. And so wives, will you do this? Mothers, will you do this? Will you fight the good fight? Will you be strong in prayer? Will you speak God's word? Will you rule your house in dignity? Will you show that management of the home in that royal honor? Will you change the world through intercessory prayer? That idea of how mothers change the world. There's kind of a line. I didn't go back and look it up. Is it a book? Is it a lecture? Is it a series? Is it a thing? Where the power of a praying mother. Have you heard of that? The power of a praying mother. And it's true. I've seen it. I've seen mothers change lives through prayer. And it's a beautiful and a wonderful thing. Wives, mothers, we need you to do that. We need you to be changing the world through your intercessory prayer. We husbands need your prayer. Kids need your prayers. You need to speak the truth in love to your family, and to live out that role of speaking God's word. And so that brings us here to Proverbs 31. And I want you to see here in Proverbs 31 the strength of this woman, her ruling and managing her household. Look at the descriptions, and I think what you'll see here is even things that remind us of the king role, things that remind us of the prophet role. Look for that in here. Proverbs 31, starting verse 10, not every single verse from that the section is here. Just a few I took out for the sake of space and the sake of focus. An excellent wife, who can find? She's far more precious than jewels. The heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not harm all the days of her life. She's like the ships of the merchant. She brings her food from afar. She rises while it's yet night, provides food for her household and portions for her maidens. She considers a field and buys it. With the fruit of her hands, she plants a vineyard. She dresses herself with strength and makes her arms strong. She perceives that her merchandise is profitable. Her lamp does not go out at night. She opens her hands to the poor, reaches out her hands to the needy. She's not afraid of snow for her household, for all her household are clothed in scarlet. She makes bed coverings for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Strength and dignity are her clothing. She laughs at the time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and the teaching, the law of kindness, is on her tongue. She looks well to the ways of her household, does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, he praises her. Many women have done excellently, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceitful, beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her the fruit of her hands. Let her works praise her in the gates. Here are some descriptions that stand out to me. providing food for her household. She is, you know, like that king, you know, bringing forth and providing for the needs of those underneath her. She considers a field and buys it, you know, sees its value in charge of money, sees that that's what would be a blessing to their house, and gets it. With the fruit of her hand, she plants a vineyard. That feels like Solomon in Ecclesiastes, right? Planting gardens, planting vineyards. She dresses herself with strength, right? All the good things that she's doing. She opens her hand to the poor. That's like a king, right? The king who hands out and helps the people who are needy in his kingdom. All her household are clothed in scarlet. And we see here that she herself is clothed in fine linen and purple. That sounds like a queen in her royal dignity, right? Her clothing is purple, that kind of rich color. Those in her household are clothed in scarlet. Strength and dignity are what she's wearing. That's her clothing. She opens her mouth with wisdom. Okay, so now she's speaking the wisdom of God to people. She is sharing that, and the law of kindness is on her tongue. Teaching God's word. Let her works praise her in the gates. That sounds to me like a leader, that king idea, in the community, upheld in honor. See that? This virtuous woman, this Proverbs 31 woman, is the queen of her home, acting in strength, being a blessing to others. That's this great call. It's a great picture. There's more. The Bible has more to say than just this chapter. But there's a lot here that shows that power of a virtuous woman. Okay, so if that's the case, then why did we have this whole series with all these lessons focused on the husbands? And lesson after lesson, it was husband, how do you live out the role of prophet in your home? Husband, be the priest. Husband, be the king. Why the focus? And that's point number two, is that wives and husbands both need to be doing this, but the husbands and fathers need to be leading in these ways. That's the difference. His husbands and fathers need to be leading in these ways. Yeah, everyone needs to be praying, but the father should be praying most of all. The father needs to be the one leading in prayer. 1 Timothy 2, that men everywhere, the males everywhere, lifting holy hands, right? Leading in the praying. Being that example, doing it for the family. It's not enough for the wife to be praying for the kids. The dad needs to be praying for the kids. Everyone in the home is a child of the king. We're all sons and daughters of Adam and Eve. They were kings. We're kings. Yeah, we're all children of the king. But the father needs to be modeling. The father needs to be leading in royal dignity and strength and justice and stability, courage. Sounds like some of the things we talked about yesterday in the book club. Modeling strength, justice in the home. Remember, that's the role of the king. Bring about justice. Bring about God's will. Be stable for the family. Be courageous for the family. Yeah, everyone needs to speak God's word to each other, but the father needs to be leading in the home in this way. Yes, teaching in the home the kids. It's not enough for the wife, the mother, to be teaching the kids the Bible. The dad needs to teach the kids the Bible. And even more than just that, remember how that prophet role, I know it's been a few months, when we talk about the prophet role, we said prophets had this vision of God's will. They could see how things should be and how things will be. And that's what the fathers need to have in the home, is a vision. How can we improve things? A vision. How can things be better and different? What does God want for this family? And so, yeah, we all need to be doing these things, but the husband needs to be leading and modeling with the vision in these things. Here's the fact of the matter. It's just too easy for men to abdicate their roles. And God has called us to be leaders in the home, and it's just too easy to not do it. I mean, it's so easy. Right? And just like king after king and tyrant after tyrant in this world has not been the selfless leader that they should be, we have a phrase for that, you know, absolute power corrupts absolutely. Well, that's why husband after husband and father after father has not lived up, because they They can get away with it, right? It's just too easy for us to not live up to these roles. Yeah, we wouldn't say these words out loud, but can we relate to them? The wife is teaching kids the Bible? Good. Looks like my work here is done, right? She's teaching kids? Oh, you're like the preacher. We homeschool. And so the wife is really teaching the kids, right? Well, that doesn't mean that you shouldn't be teaching the kids as well. No, your work here is not done. You need to be teaching kids, your kids, the Bible. The wife is praying a lot. Good. Praying enough for the both of us, I reckon. Not just the wife praying for the family and for others, the husband leading in praying for the family. Hey, the wife wants to lead. She wants to be the head. Fine. She can have it. You can find me in my man cave if you need something, right? Something catches on fire, you come get me. But until then, she wants it, she can have it. That's not how the picture should be. That we need to see the husband leading in these ways, being wise and strong in these ways, not abdicating his roles, which is all too easy to do. If you're not leading the kids and taking care of the kids, the wife's going to do it. She loves the kids. She's going to take care of the kids. But are you going to be doing your part? The lazy part of us men is going to like it just fine to step down from the pressures of royalty. I say that tongue in cheek. But you get the idea that the lazy part of us says, oh good, someone else is doing it. Good thing I don't need to step up to that. And so we don't live up to being the godly kings and speakers of God's word and intercessors for God's people. We'll like that just fine, the lazy part of us. And especially it'll be easy to abdicate those roles if the wife is making it difficult to lead. If the wife is making it hard to teach, to encourage, to help, to lead, to be the head, well, then it's especially going to be easy for us to not live up to those roles that God has called us to. So husbands, think about this. Husbands, you put your wives in such a terrible position if you're not willing to lead. If you're not willing to lead, what's the wife going to do, right? How can she submit to your authority if you're not exercising any authority? How's she going to live that out? That's going to be very difficult. So husbands, don't provide what we call, don't make a leadership vacuum, right? Where there's no leadership in the home. The only leadership vacuum your home should have is when the dad is telling the kids that they need to clean the floor. Leadership vacuum, get it? The husband should be leading in a way where the wife can follow his lead. How can she submit to your leadership if you're not providing any leadership? If the leader isn't being mature, how are people going to follow his lead, right? If the wife is like, I've got to be the mature one with the money. I've got to be the mature one with the internet. I've got to be the mature one and help him take care of the kids. I've got to be the mature one with use of our stuff. Name it. If the leader isn't being mature, then how can she follow your lead? That's a terrible position that you're putting the wife and ultimately the kids into. Then, of course, the other side of that is, wives, you put your husband in a difficult position when you make it hard for him to lead. If he's trying to lead, but the wife is making that a difficulty, well, then you're putting him in a difficult position, and that's going to be difficult for him. Wives, just remember, you exert more power than you know. We have our expressions, right? The husband's the head, but the neck turns the head wherever it wants, right? Wives do have such power in tangible and intangible ways over their husband. If this was the spiritual health, mental health class, we would talk about the brain chemicals that bond the husband and the wife together, even on the neurological level. If you watched that movie a few years ago, Fireproof, right, when they're talking about marriage and the character glues the salt and pepper shaker together and makes them kind of one and says, you try to tear that apart, you're going to break it. That's what's happening in our brains with the ways that God has bonded the husband and the wife together. So yes, wives, you have incredible power over your husbands. We know the old expression, right? If mama ain't happy, ain't nobody happy. That's the power that you have to, as the Proverbs describe it, a foolish woman tearing down her home, tearing down her house. Wives, you have that power and that ability. A husband might be abdicating his role and not living up to who God would want him to be for all kinds of reasons, right? Well, if I tried to do that, the wife would lose it in front of the kids. We've got to be a unified front. I don't want the kids to see that, so I'm just going to have to be silent. Or a husband might abdicate his role because he knows the wife is going to be sour all day. Or she's going to be getting back at him in little ways. That makes me think of my dear grandmother, who's a wonderful, godly woman, but she told this story on herself about decades ago, that she was mad at my grandfather and for something. And she's there, she said, I'm making his sandwich for lunch that day, and I'm just slopping that mayonnaise on that sandwich and putting all that mayonnaise on there. And of course, I can just see her in her, you know, mayo rage, making my grandfather's sandwich. And of course, he had no clue, right? He's not going to get to work that day and be like, oh, she's upset. Look at all that mayonnaise on a sandwich. But that's what happens, right? Is that we can live in a relationship where you're afraid to lead, you don't want to lead because of what that might lead to. So that's our point number three. Wives, help your husbands by A, letting him lead. Wives, help your husbands by B, encouraging him in his leadership. We are fallen people, and as fallen children of Adam and Eve, we know that leadership is going to be hard. We know that submission is going to be hard. That's what was told to us in the consequences of sin back in Genesis 3. A more literal rendering, Genesis 3:16, your desire will be against your husband and he will rule over you. What was more natural and pleasant in the garden is now going to be difficult for the wife to be the helper, for the wife to be submissive to the husband's leadership. Your desire is going to be against your husband, or you could translate that, your desire will be to control your husband, but he's going to rule over you. That's not good. That's not godly leadership. That's not godly submission, but that's what happens with broken people. And so it's very hard, and from the beginning God has told us those home dynamics are going to be hard. And so it's just inevitable. We just need to see that. It's going to be difficult for the husband to lead as he should. It's going to be difficult for the wife to submit as she should. That's just going to be hard. And we're not going to do it perfectly, but we sure need to be giving it our best. We sure need to be growing in that. Almost as inevitable as that is this, is that when the husband starts to make changes, the husband says, you know, I want to step up. I need to do more. He starts to lead more. The wife is going to struggle with that. That's just going to be an inevitable dynamic. Not 100%, of course. It may be very welcome when he starts leading. But there may be some hard ways where, I don't know, she doesn't feel like he listens to her opinion as much when she's used to kind of her word says it. So almost inevitably, then, that's going to be difficult when the husband is trying to grow and improve in these things. And, of course, if the wife has been the de facto head of the relationship, that's going to produce a lot of conflict. If the husband is trying to step up, but that's going to be new, that's going to be different, well, yeah, then of course, then that is going to provide a lot of difficulties in that relationship. Husbands, don't for one second, not even a little, try to be the king, try to be more of the king, unless you're a king like Jesus. Unless you are leading like Jesus. Mark 10:45, for even the Son of Man didn't come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. That's the kind of king that Jesus was. He did not come so that we would serve him. He came to serve. So when husbands step up to lead, it's to serve. It's to help. It's not so that his needs are met better or that people are doing his way better. It's not that at all. Is that we give up our life. That godly kings lay down their life to help and to bless those whom God has put in their charge. The crown that we are wearing as husbands and as fathers needs to be a crown of thorns. Yes, we're called to lead, but it's a call to sacrifice. It's a call to suffering as we lead in those relationships. Another way of saying that is leading in the home is not about your will being done. Leading in the home is about God's will being done. To carry out like a king is always supposed to do, he's there to make sure God's will is done in the kingdom. That's the only reason he's there, to lead in that way. So leading in the home is not about your will, what you want happening. It's about what God wants to happen. Husbands, don't for one second try to teach more unless you're living it. You set yourself up for being a greater hypocrite. Okay, I'm going to teach more. That's what J.D. Sermons said. Be that prophet in the home preaching God's word. Well, if you're being a hypocrite, if you're not living it, you're just setting yourself up for greater judgment. I mean, you got to live. You got to not just speak those things, but live it out. Be like Ezra, who learned God's word and then did it himself and then taught other people. That's our calling and godly, humble servant leadership. And then for wives, you're going to need to submit to your husbands, even if he's wicked. Even if he is not a good man. Even if he is a hypocrite. Even if you see things how he really is that no one else sees, you're still going to need to submit to your husbands. Because two wrongs don't make a right. We can't say, oh, well, he's not doing his part, so I don't have to do my part. That's not how Christ lived. Christ continued to serve, continued to bless, even though he was mistreated. He was treated so wrongly, he humbled himself to serve and wash the feet, even of Judas. Two wrongs don't make a right. Wives are going to be called to submit to their husbands, even when their husbands aren't believers and aren't living righteous lives. This was our scripture reading. 1 Peter 3, verse 1. Likewise, wives, be subject to your own husbands, so that even if some don't obey the word, they may be won without a word by the conduct of their wives when they see your respectful and pure conduct. Don't let your adorning be external. The adorning is, what are you trying to beautify? What are you trying to adorn? What are you trying to fix up? Is your focus just your braiding of hair and gold jewelry or clothing? Or are you trying to beautify the hidden person of the heart with the imperishable beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which in God's sight is very precious? This is how holy women who hoped in God used to adorn themselves, by submitting to their own husbands, as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord. And you are Sarah's daughters, if you do good and don't fear anything that's frightening. You read the New Testament, you realize if you want to get to heaven, you got to be a son of Abraham. It's the seed of Abraham, the sons of Abraham that inherit the earth, that inherit the world. So you want to be, spiritually, a son of Abraham. Well then, what this is saying is you want to be a daughter of Sarah. Not just a son of Abraham, but a daughter of Sarah. And you are a daughter of Sarah if you do good, you don't fear those frightening things, and you submit to your husband. As Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord. And so no, that doesn't have to be the exact word you use, but are you submitting to the headship of the husband, even if he's a wicked man? That is our calling in Christ. So wives, help your husband by letting him lead. Wives, help your husband by encouraging him in his leadership. Here's just another way of saying that. The great goal that we all share together is to help each other get to heaven. Right? That's our goal. Our goal is for me to help you get to heaven, for you to help me get to heaven. So wives, how can you help your husband to be pleasing to the Lord? How can you help your husband to fulfill his role? Husbands, how can you help your wife to be pleasing to the Lord? How can you help her to fulfill her role? If she has to submit to you, you better be a really good guy. You had better be loving and serving, and whatever kind of car she wants is the kind of car you get. Whatever kind of restaurant she wants to eat at is the kind of restaurant that you're going to eat at. You name it, she has to submit to you. So what are you going to do to make that a blessing and a joy to her? How can you lay down your life so that she sees you as someone who really loves her, cares for her, you put her needs first? How can you make that to be a wonderful thing in your home? Husbands, that's our calling, to help our wives to be pleasing to the Lord. Let me put all this in this context. Hebrews 13:17 is about elders over a congregation. It's not about husbands and wives, but I think the principle is very useful for us. Hebrews 13:17, obey your leaders, your elders, right? The shepherds of a congregation. Obey your leaders, submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls as those who will have to give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with groaning, for that would be of no advantage to you. So submit to the leaders, right? We often submit to our elders because they're in charge of us. They are going to give an account for us on the day of judgment. So how can we help our elders to be able to lead us and direct us and guide us with joy and not with groaning? I mean, we could make our elders miserable, right? We could complain about everything. We could, you know, fuss about everything. We could drag our feet about everything. And they'll still do their work, hopefully, but man, we've sure made it hard for them to enjoy that. So he says, let your elders be able to do this with joy, because it's not going to help you. It's not going to help you if you have grumpy elders because you're always dragging your feet. How can that then apply to husbands and wives? Wives, as your husband is trying to lead the family, and he leads it awkwardly, he leads it with lots of failures, he is frustrating to deal with as he does that. But how can you help him lead in a way that encourages him? Of course, we could put the opposite. As wives are seeking to follow your leadership, husbands, how can you encourage your wife in that role? So that's a relationship of joy. And so in the home, it's not going to help if there's that friction that is hurting the relationship. Help them to fulfill their role with joy, not with groaning, because that's not going to help anyone. It won't be an advantage to you, wife, if he has to lead you with groaning instead of leading you with joy. And of course, the opposite is true. Husbands, it's not going to help you if you aren't helping her to be able to submit to you with joy instead of groaning. Here's how I want to end the lesson. We all are called to these roles. We're sons of the King. We're called to intercede. We're called to bless. We're called to speak God's word. And all of us have our roles, including Christ. Christ had to submit to the Father. We all have to submit to Christ. Men have to submit to Christ. Women have to submit to Christ. And in the marriage relationship, then, you have wives submitting to their husbands. In this more general sense, the head of woman is man, even in the leadership of the church. I think in leadership in general. But here's how Paul puts it in 1 Corinthians 11:3. I want you to understand the head of every man is Christ, the head of woman is man, the head of Christ is God. Christ is our priest who brings us back to God. Christ is our king who leads his kingdom. We need to submit to him fully. And whatever our king wants us to do, that's what we've got to do. Christ himself submitted himself to the Father. We submit ourselves to the Father. We submit ourselves to the King who loves us, the King who finds such joy in us, the King who leads selflessly. What can we do to imitate that in the home? I hope that those are useful and encouraging thoughts for you. Let's submit to Christ. Let's turn to him. He's our only hope. He's the only King that we need. If we can help you in any way, let us know. Maybe even now while we stand and sing a song of invitation.